Hi, my name's Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to take a look at using the ASP.NET Health Monitoring functionality to log events to a SQL Server database. And we'll be doing this not only to show you how to log events, the standard events that come with the Health Monitoring functionality to a SQL Server database, but this should provide a base for you to implement your own custom health monitoring events that can provide a wide range of functionality in helping implement logging in your ASP.NET website. So let's get started and create a little sample website where we can implement the health monitoring functionality. Now I'm going to implement a site here in Visual Basic for the demo and the video, but when you download the sample source code, you're also going to get the source in C# as well. Now the health monitoring system in ASP.NET is a robust system for recording various types of events to different destinations. And the configuration of that system takes place in the web.config file. And what I want to show you is the root web.config file over in the .NET framework, because that has some of these events and some of the providers already configured, and you can leverage those when you go to configure health monitoring in your own ASP.NET website. So let's go over here to that folder, which is the config folder in version 2 of the framework under Microsoft.NET and Windows. Here's the web.config file. That is the root web.config file. Let's open that up in Visual Studio, take a quick look at a few parts of the health monitoring configuration. So let me drag that down, and we'll open it up over here in Visual Studio. Let's scroll down to the health monitoring section. Here's the health monitoring element. It has a number of child modes. We'll come back and talk about these in detail. What I want to show you specifically are two things. There we go. There are two providers built in. Providers are destinations where you can write events. One is the event log, the other is WMI. So these two providers are available to you when you define your own health monitoring, and you don't have to go and define those again. Look up this web.config file. As I said, it's over. You saw where it is over in the config folder under the framework in Windows folder. And the other thing I want to show you are the event mappings. These are events that are already defined that you can utilize in your own health monitoring. There's a number of them here. Each one defines from a specific class in the system.web.management namespace, and you can read up in the MSDN documentation about each of these different events and then determine which, if any, you want to use in your health monitoring. So let's go back over to our website and let's take a look at installing and configuring SQL Server to record the events during health monitoring. Now, the first step in enabling the health monitoring to record events to a SQL Server database using the SQL Web Event Provider is to create the database for storing that event information. So let's go over to SQL Server and we'll add a new database here. We'll call it HDI Web Events. So we'll create that database. Now initially it's empty, so what we need to do is to get a specific set of tables, stored procedures, and some other objects into the database that will allow the SQL Web Event Provider class in the ASP.NET and the .NET framework to interact with our SQL Server database. And in order to do that, we need to go over to a Visual Studio 2008 command prompt window. And you may have used the utility called ASP.NET_regsql. ASP.NET_regsql. And where you may have used this is to install the necessary tables for the ASP.NET membership system. And by default, if you run this in the wizard mode, which is what would happen if we ran it here by just hitting enter, and actually I'll just do that just to show you, and it pops up the wizard mode and steps you through. And this is the way to go for ASP.NET membership, but what it does is it installs several things, all of the membership pieces, as well as you can see here, it also installs the SQL Web Event Provider. And in this particular case, all we want is the SQL Web Event Provider objects, and there is a way to do that, but not in the wizard. So I'm going to cancel out of that, back to the command prompt. And in order to install that specific set of tables and other objects, you need to use the command prompt options. So let's take a look at all the options here. As you can see, there's a number of options at the command prompt, and the one that we're really interested in is up here, the minus A option. By default in the wizard, it does all the features, but you see you can specify individual features, including the W option, which is the SQL Web Event Provider, and that's what we want to do here. So let's scroll down and let's add those options. Let me cycle back up. We'll get rid of the question mark, and there's only a few options that we need to specify here. The first one is our login via Windows authentication. You can optionally use username, password. We need to specify the server, which is the S option, and that's development one in my case. Obviously, you'd put whatever your server name is there. We need to specify the database because we did create a specific database. If you don't specify the database with the D option, what's going to happen is it's going to put it in a default database name. It actually will create the database by default for you, and it'll end up in the SQL Server data directory. In this case, we want it to interact with our HDI Web Events database, which we put over in the sample website. We'll go back and see that in a moment. So it's HDI Web Events was the name of our database. And the last thing we need is the A option, and in this case, as I said, we want to specify W, which is just to install the Web Events SQL Server objects. Let's let that run, and there it's done. And let's go back over to SQL Server and just take a quick look at the objects that it's added. So down in our database, we'll look at the tables. As you can see, there's a few tables here related to the Web Event Provider. The main one that we're interested in is this ASP.NET Web Event Events. And let's actually go down quickly and take a look at the structure of that, the columns. And as you can see here, there's going to be information, one event per record in this database, and there's quite a bit of information that will be recorded here. We'll be coming back and looking at this after we get it hooked up to health monitoring. But there's a quick look at the structure, the main table that will record our event information. And there's a number of other objects here in the database which you can look at on your own. There's a bunch of stored procedures. We're going to be interacting with this one here, which is what's going to insert our events into the database. And there's some other functions, permissions, etc. And as I said, you can take a look at those. So now we have our database all set to go here and record our events from the health monitoring system. Now let's go back over to Visual Studio, and what we need to do is configure our ASP.NET website to write events using health monitoring over to that SQL Server database. As I mentioned earlier in the video, the configuration for the health monitoring system is in large part enabled by adding elements to the web.config file. So let's open that up and start configuring health monitoring to use the SQL Web Event Provider database that we just created. Now, health monitoring is an element inside of the system.web element. So we'll just scroll down here towards the bottom of that section currently, and we're going to add a new section in here. And you see IntelliSense, if we start to type inside system.web, shows us the health monitoring element. Now, there's a couple attributes that, at least one I should say, that we're required to set here to get health monitoring enabled, and that is the enabled element or attribute. So we need to, in our case, set that to true. And the other attribute that we're going to set here in health monitoring is called the heartbeat interval, because what we're going to do initially here is have an event called the heartbeat event. You may recall that when we looked at the config file, the machine.config file early on in the video, that was one of the types of events. And the heartbeat event is essentially an event that's written on a specified interval that indicates the application is still alive. So the heartbeat interval is measured in seconds. Let's put that at 2 seconds. So what we're going to get here is a heartbeat event every 2 seconds, and that will write the event to our SQL Web Event database table, and that's going to give us a good quick indication that we have configured our health monitoring system correctly. And then you can go on from there and enable other types of events, and we're going to look momentarily at how we enable different types of events in health monitoring. So that's all we need for the two attributes here in our health monitoring element. Then inside the health monitoring element, there's a number of child elements that we need to configure. Let's take a look at those, and let's just get the main element names here to start with. The first one is the providers, and that's essentially what providers are we going to use for recording our health monitoring information. And in our case, we're going to come back and configure that for our SQL Web Event provider in just a moment. First, what I want to do is just get the other main elements that we're going to be using. The next one we're going to use is buffer modes, and buffer modes relates to the fact that you can buffer the writing of events out to a particular provider. In our case, we are going to buffer the writing of the events to the SQL Server database. And we'll be back to look at the details of that in just a moment. The next element that we're going to work with are called the rules. Now, the rules are an essential aspect of implementing or configuring health monitoring. Rules, as the name implies, that dictates the rules for which events get written to which providers, etc. We'll be back to define the rules. And the last element that we're going to look at is the profiles. Now, profiles are used in conjunction with rules. Those are kind of like reusable definitions of a particular way that a rule is applied to map an event, or I should say, to map how a provider works. So those are the four main sections that we're going to use. The last section that you may have noticed here, the element called event mappings, that is used to map particular events. And we are going to use one of the default events, which, as I said, is the heartbeat event. So we don't need to do any event mappings in our particular configuration file here, so I'm going to get rid of that. And later on in the video, we'll come back and talk about event mappings after we have the basic system up and running. So let's go up here to the providers element, and we're going to add a new provider. Now, by default, the event log provider and the WMI provider are in the providers collection, so we don't have to add those if we were going to use those. Those are inherently there in the machine.config file because they're used by ASP.NET. However, the SQL Web Event provider is not in the provider collection by default, so we need to add that. So we'll do an add, and within add, there's a number of attributes that we need to add. The first one we're going to is a name, and this is essentially a what's called a friendly name to the provider that we're going to add, and we'll just call it HDI SQL Web Event Provider. There we go. So that's our name, and we need to give it a type. Now, the type is pointing to the .NET type, in this case the SQL Web Event Provider class, and I've copied that to the clipboard. It's in the MSDN documentation. It's fairly long, so I'm just going to paste it in here. And let's back that up so we can take a look at it. But it points to the system.web.management.sql web event provider class and just has the version and public key token for that type. So that is specifying the type of the provider that we're adding. One of the other attributes is called buffer, and that's true false. Now, buffer indicates whether or not we want to buffer the events that are being written by this particular provider. And in this case, we're going to say true, so that's going to buffer our events for the writing of the events, I should say, to the SQL Server database. And then we need to indicate what's called a buffer mode. And the buffer mode is going to be a name that we're going to give to a buffer mode that we're going to add down here around line 124. We're going to add an element for a buffer mode in there that's going to be kind of a definition of how we're going to buffer, in this case, the writing of the events to the SQL Server database. And we'll just call that standard SQL buffer. And as I said, that's known as a friendly name. You can give it anything you want, but it does have to match what we put as the name of the buffer mode down below, which we'll do in just a moment. And another attribute we need, because we are adding a SQL Server buffer, is called max event details length. And what this does is this specifies the length of data, the maximum length of data that can be written to the details column. And let me just flip back over to our database, and here's this details column in our table, and notice it's a type of text. And what the corresponding attribute does back over here is this says, okay, you can write text in that column up to this particular length. And for what we're going to do is just put infinite, so that means essentially we can write details there as long as we want. And then the last item or attribute that we need to put here in the add of our provider is the connection string name. And we'll just give that a name of HDI connection string. Now, we haven't added that yet, so we need to go up and do that. Let's go up here towards the top of our web.config. Here we go, connection string. So we need to add a connection string. And let's add that. And we'll give it a name, and we need that sameness, so it's HDI connection string. And then we actually need a connection string. So let me go over and copy that from the clipboard and paste it in. Now that's the connection string that's going to connect to our HDI web events database that we created. And the last thing that we need here in our connection string, we need a provider name, and that's going to be equal to system.data.sqlclient. And there we should be ready to go with our connection string. That looks good. Now we'll go back down to our health monitoring section that we're adding. So we got that. So that completes the provider section of the health monitoring definition. Alright, so now let's add a buffer mode, and the buffer mode has a number of attributes that we need to define. The first one we're going to do is just the name of the buffer, and that needs to match what we put up above for buffer mode. And let's see, we had standard SQL buffer, so that will now match what we put in the profile. And the first thing we'll specify is the max buffer size. And this is essentially what is the maximum number of events that can be buffered before or in the buffer. And we'll put 50. That number will vary depending upon your situation in terms of what type of provider you're using, you know, how fast a server is your SQL server on, etc. So we'll just pick 50, which is a reasonable number, because in this case we don't expect tons of events, and 50 should be a big enough buffer. And let's see, we also want to specify the max flush size. And max flush size means what's the maximum number of events that can be written out from the buffer in one flush. And let's just say that's 10 events. And the next one we want to put is called the urgent flush interval. And this means, we'll put a value of 1, this means what is the minimum interval in between writing out flushes or flushing things out from the buffer. And actually that needs to be in hours, minutes, seconds, and we'll just say is, you know, every 1 second is the minimum amount of time that you have to wait. And we also have the urgent flush threshold. And this is the threshold, actually the minimum number of events required before you can flush out the buffer. And we'll just say that's 1. And let's see, we have the regular flush interval here. And we'll say that's infinite. And the last attribute we're going to put here is the max buffer threads. And in our case, we're going to limit the health monitoring buffering to use one thread. All right, so now we have our buffer defined for our provider. Let's go down and let's next look at the rules. Now inside the rules, this is where we actually connect what event to a particular provider. So let's add a new rule, and there's a couple attributes that we'll put here. First, we give the rule a name, and we'll call this the standard heartbeat. And then the event name that we want is the heartbeat. And actually that's name is plural. And the event names, now these event names are coming from the standard names that are defined in the event mapping in the machine.config file. Or I've been calling it machine.config. I should be saying that it's the root web.config file. And let's go over, it'd be worth opening that up again. We saw it a little earlier. Let's go over here to the folder, and as I said, it's in the Microsoft Net Framework 2.0 config folder. And down here, there's our config file. Let me bring that over, and let's put it inside Visual Studio, open it up, and we'll scroll back down. Once again, there we go. And here's the event mappings. As I said, we're not going to do any event mappings in our little test because we're going to use the standard heartbeats event. But if you forget what the event names are when you're trying to configure the health monitoring, just go over, find this web.config file, and take a look at the built-in event names here. And there is a way to add custom events and add your own event mappings if you would like, and you can read further about that in the MSDN documentation. So this is where we're getting our heartbeats event from that we're putting over here as the event name in our rule. And then the next attribute that we want is the provider. And the provider is the name that we put up here, and we called it the HDI SQL Web Event Provider. So let me copy that down here, put that in as the provider name. And the last thing we need for our rule is a profile. And the profile, which we're going to find down below, is essentially a reusable set of parameters that define how the event is used in your implementation. So let's just call this the standard profile. And now we need to go down and create that profile down below. So let me just copy the name so we make sure we have it correctly. And we'll add a new profile. We'll give the profile a name. Let's paste in the name from above. And there are several attributes that we want to specify here. So let's go, and the next attribute that we want to add is the minimum instances. We'll set that to 1, and that essentially says we have to have a minimum of 1 instance of the event fire before it would be recorded. And the next attribute we're going to put is the max limit, and that essentially says after this many events, they'll stop being recorded. And we're going to say infinite, which means that it can go on recording these events as long as we want or as long as they occur. And then the last attribute we're going to put is the minimum interval, and this is the minimum amount of time between 2 of these events. And we're just going to put the default value. You wouldn't have to put this. It would be there by default, as I said, but we'll just put it so you have it in this web.config file with a sample code. So we're going to say that there's no minimum interval of time between these events that we're going to record. Now let me just format this file. There we go. So now actually we have all of the major pieces necessary for our health monitoring to work. We specified the SQL web event provider, as well as pointing it up to the connection string to our SQL Server database. We've defined how we're going to buffer the events before we write them out to the SQL Server database. We've then established the rules which actually turn on a particular event. We're using the built-in heartbeats event. Built-in meaning that it's defined in the root web.config file. It's in the event mappings up there. And we're attaching that event to the SQL web event provider. And then within this rule, we're using this profile, which defines the characteristics of how this event is recorded, really how frequently it is recorded, how many instances are needed to record it, etc. So now we should be able to take a look at our event provider working. So let's go ahead and start up our website. So open it up in the debug mode. Now we don't have anything on default ASPX, so it's just going to come up as it does here and as a blank page, but behind the scenes we'll just let it go for a few more seconds. That heartbeat interval should be firing every 2 seconds, and it should be writing a record to our SQL Server database. So we've let it go for about 10 or 15 seconds. Let's shut down the website. And now let's go back over and take a look at our table in the SQL Server database. And we'll just cycle around. There it is. Okay. Let's open up the table. And in fact, here are a number of events that have been fired related to that heartbeat event we defined. And if we open up, there we go. We can see that the heartbeat event is actually an instance of the web heartbeat event class. Here we have the various times that the events were fired. And over here, just in universal time, we have a unique identifier, a GUID, related to each event that was fired. Let's see, we got the type. The events are sequenced here in terms of when they occurred, and event code, code detail, message, and this is defined in that heartbeat event. It just says application heartbeat. The path, the application, the virtual path. We have the machine name. In this case, it's development 1. It's not recording anything for the URL or exception type. And in the details, If we hold the mouse over and you get the little pop-up window, you can see we have a code for the event, a message, some time, UTC, ID. There's a whole bunch of information related to the details of the heartbeat event. Now, every event in the event system has different detail information that may be written. I mean, some of it may be the same as here, but that, I should say, is defined in the definition of each event. So now we will go back over to SQL Server, and as you can see, we were successful at implementing the health monitoring and having it write our events to the SQL Server database. So we've looked at how to write events in the health monitoring system out to a SQL Server database here in the video. We also saw how to set up that database using the ASP.NET Reg SQL command line utility. And then we went through the various elements in the heartbeat configuration here in the web.config file. We implemented the heartbeats event, which came from the root web.config file, the event mappings over in the root web.config file, which is in the config folder of the framework version 2.0. You can take a look at that, see the other events that are available, and use what we've done here in the video and in the sample source code download as a basis for potentially implementing some of the other standard events that are defined. In addition, this lays a good groundwork if you want to expand upon the system, build some custom events so you could get particular things logged in your own ASP.NET websites. And in fact, there's another video that talks specifically about how to implement those custom events and then integrate them into the health monitoring system. So I encourage you to download the sample source code. As I mentioned early on, we did in VB here in the video, but it's also available in C# with the source code download. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on writing events to SQL Server in the ASP.NET Health Monitoring System.